5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America.
One show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
When are you guys gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. Facts. It's Trump 2024. We don't care. You heard me? We already made our mind up. You already know when the hood got your back. Man, they deep in the hood, gangsters, hollering about Trump 2024. You heard me? Woo, woo, wah. Gangsters. The hood got this man back. I'm just trying to tell you. You heard me? And we ain't stupid, man. American people, man. We ain't all them talking about lockdowns and back wearing the mask and all that. You know, they got a new virus coming and it's going to be, man, nobody don't care. Ain't fooling nobody no more with none of that. You know, new jack, man, nobody being fooled no more. We all the way up. You heard me? It's Trump 2024. That's what it's going to be because we ain't having nothing else.
From sea to shining sea,
3 hours of bold truth and excellence.
The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. All right, so how does something spread so quickly? Well, it's obvious. You look at college campuses. Social media definitely helps. Dark money. Definitely helps. A bogus story out there definitely helps for campus protests to spread from one city, one town to another. And it has. It's at Indiana University. It's at the University of Pittsburgh in my background here, in our neighborhood. It's in New York. It's in Boston. It's at UCLA. It's in Chicago at Northwestern. It's everywhere. I loved Arizona State University. Frat guys, fraternity guys getting together to remove for the police who are helping to settle the peace. All of the stupid pop-up tents that come so quickly and look so coordinated and so similar to all the other places that we're seeing these students decide to protest. Look, you got students for sure. Students who are going to be active, whatever. But you got a lot of people who are outside the confines of a university setting, who are not affiliated with the university, who probably never went to the university, will never go to a university, who are professional agitators. How does one find these people? Is it like a casting call? Everybody who just hates the world and likes to protest will pay you $50. What do you think George Floyd was about? Was some of that obviously organic? For sure. Was it exacerbated by a casting call put out there for people to protest? Absolutely. Hey, you go to this website, you give us this thing, you take this picture of this whatever, and we will compensate you X number of dollars for your protests. So you have to ask yourself, how many of these people are paid agitators, and how many are just swept up in a story that Israel is really mean, and they've killed 34,000 Palestinians. I think that's the number that the Hamas, you know, Ministry of Magic or whatever these people are has been spreading out there. As though you can believe that number, right? How does this happen? Did you guys know that there is a website? I'm going to read it to you because it just, I can't believe it. And I can. Crowdsondemand.com. If you're at a computer, open another window, right? Crowdsondemand.com. And let's read this together. Since 2012, this particular company has managed the optics of all sorts of different initiatives. You want to lobby Congress? Hire Crowds on Demand. We'll get people lickety-split with signs, with prefabbed things to chant, with props. We'll get them there. We'll decide what they look like, what kinds of people they are. We'll make sure your messaging is heard by the right people. says crowds on demand. Under the tab, protests, rallies, and advocacy. Listen to this. It's truly wild. Whether your organization is lobbying to move forward a healthcare, financial, energy, or other social initiative, we can organize rallies and get media attention for your causes and candidates. We also assist individuals, companies, and political organizations with protests and picketing campaigns. We've protested governments. We've protested corporations and everything in between. Give us a call. We'll help you too. We've achieved results on campaigns on everything from ending institutional discrimination in a religious organization, right? To getting refunds and compensation for hundreds of homeowners who bought hazardous land from a real estate firm to force a patent trolling company to back down. We've gotten tough energy projects approved from oil to natural gas to wind and solar. We're frequently called upon to address real estate issues that, while in many cases are not heavily covered by the media, are relevant to stakeholders and depend heavily on public opinion. I wonder if they travel as far as Lahaina. What do you guys think? If you need to hire protesters, we can get a crowd on the street, sometimes within 24 hours' time. Hi, Dobbs decision. Boop, 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 boop. Crowds on demand? Hi, I need a group of angry leftists who look like they're bleeding and have fetuses in their hands to please show up on the steps of the Supreme Court. Done. Does it all make sense now? Not only do you need the funding from dirtbags like George Soros and others, you need to have the right people in place to tick everybody off. Bing, 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 bing. If you need speakers to present at a council meeting, we can provide talented and well-spoken individuals to advocate for the cause. We also have a dedicated team of phone banking staff who can call congressional offices and convince government officials to support your cause and help you overcome opposition. If you need, let's say, lots of letters and emails written from constituents, we have a network of tens of thousands of individuals across the country who can send well-written constituent letters to their representatives. We represent and provide a cost-effective way to lobby government to pass or defeat legislation, push for approval of projects, and influence government in a grassroots manner. We are the ultimate guerrilla lobbying and government relations firm. Ew! This is where it is. How did they get so many people to show up at a bridge? To block access to the airport. To terrorize businesses in downtown cities, like mine during George Floyd. How do they get so many people to wear vagina hats and to be outraged over this or that? It's all optics. It's all messaging. It's all the new way to advertise. It's crazy. Now, I want to read you one of their so-called success stories, just so you know how dirty this is. A medium-sized software security company hired crowds on demand to generate attention at a technology conference in San Francisco. They wanted their logo prominently placed within the conference, but without having to pay the high price tag of sponsoring the event. Well, crowds on demand to the rescue. We came up with the idea of greeting conference attendees arriving at San Francisco Airport with people holding signs with the company's logo. Well-dressed performers held up the company's logo for 3 full days at every terminal. In addition, crowds on demand performers held banners outside the convention center. Our unique approach generated far more impressions than event sponsorship at less than 1/10 of the price. The software company received widespread attention at their booth, at the conference, and an article in an industry publication. Gross? Of course. But there's more. How about this? Publicity for a startup. A startup digital media advertising firm hired crowds on demand to build hype at the Advertising Week conference in New York City. They wanted a catchy campaign that would grab attention in a way that would focus on their product, an alternative to internet banner advertisements. Together, we developed a plan for a protest against banner ads, featuring 50 protesters holding signs. The rally was held in front of the conference center on the opening day of the conference and featured speeches from executives. The event led to a popular hashtag, industry media coverage, and an increase in sales of 500% immediately following the conference. You're living in an illusion. You're living in an alternate reality. You're living a simulation. It's garbage. The protesters, the same signs, the same things they chant on the freaking megaphones, the same social media influencers, the same outreach, all of it. Crowdsondemand.com. So I think realistically, for those of us who live in Realville, who are annoyed by people who suck, we should look at these things and wonder, did Crowds on Demand play a role in that? And then say, yeah, I'm going to go with yeah. It's not real, friends. It's all garbage. Aren't you tired of it? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, Biden's approval rating right now, the lowest ever in presidential history. I wonder if Crowds on Demand can fix that. I didn't say they were miracle workers. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I don't know if there is a crowdondemand.com that could spin Joe Biden out of the suck cycle that he's currently in. Because Gallup has put this out, news.gallup.com. Biden's 13th quarter approval average, the lowest historically, averages 38.7% job approval. Are there really 1 in 3 voters out there, a little bit more than that, who think Joe Biden's doing a bang-up job? Really? Who are these people? Are these the people who will never, ever awaken, who will never be saved? Are these the people that we saw on Palm Sunday of 2020, holding hands, wearing masks, walking their dogs in an empty parking lot? What? Yes. Yes, these people are. Here's your story. Oh my gosh. President Joe Biden averaged 38.7% job approval during his recently completed 13th quarter in office, which began January 20th and ended April 19th. Now, we should say, as a matter of, I don't know, nuance, flavor, pizzazz, we should have added up how many times he was on vacation during that time. That might help give you a little of the flavor of it. None of the other 9 presidents elected to their first term since Dwight Eisenhower had a lower 13th quarter average than Joe Biden. Not even Carter. What? George H.W. Bush had the previous low 13th quarter average approval rating at 41.8% in 1992, and Joe Biden beats him by 3 percentage points. Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Biden's immediate predecessors in office, averaged 46.8% and 45.9% job approval, respectively, at the same point in their presidencies. Jimmy Carter is the only other president with a sub-50% average in his 13th quarter. 3 of the 4 prior presidents who had 13th quarter approval ratings below 50% lost their re-election bids, with Obama being the exception. But if I remember, Obama's re-election was not a cakewalk. Not even close. 4 of the 6 presidents who were re-elected, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush, averaged between 51% and 55% approval during their 13th quarters. Joe Biden, 38.3%. From a broader historical perspective, Biden's most recent quarterly average ranks 277th out of 314 presidential quarters in Gallup records, dating to 1945. That puts him in the bottom 12% of all presidential quarters.
It sounds like his class rank.
Oh, my, my, my. Which one, Brock? Which one?
Whichever one he was lying about.
Well, that's all of them then. Thank you for the clarification. And of course, Gallup has to continue with this. The Joe Biden's job approval is showing no signs of increasing. Why would they? Joe Biden coming out with the white wealth tax. I heard Charles Payne over the weekend talking about this. We've had him on the program. He's fantastic. Fox Business. And he called this capital gains proposal of 44%. The most racist tax, punitive tax, specifically on white people. Because if you look at the statistical breakdown of the uber wealthy, the lion's share, as in also the lion's share of our population in this country, is white. It is a punitive and racial tax against you who've worked really hard to innovate, create, excel, capitalize on capitalism, fail quickly, succeed bigger, dream audaciously, and to go out there and just kick some serious ass. So Joe Biden's on a fast path to losing re-election. Does anybody honestly, honestly think he won to begin with? Because if you get 81 million votes, you mean to tell me that in just three short years, you're losing about 80% of them? I don't think so. The latest quarterly average for Biden, technically the lowest of his presidency to date, though not meaningfully different than the previous quarters, 39%. After Biden averaged better than 50% approval during his first two quarters in office, his subsequent readings have been near 40%. It took 6 months. It took 6 months for the farcical story of Joe Biden got more votes than America's first black president to hit the fan and swirl in the commode of suck. You guys surprised? Of course you're not surprised. Are you going to be surprised by this? Exposing the cycle of censorship, all right? When we come back after this short commercial timeout, we're going to play for you. We're going to read something to you. We're going to show you how it was covered. And then we're going to show you how it was covered up. So you can understand how truth gets censored every daggone minute of your life. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So I found a story over the weekend and I started digging into it a little bit. And I love doing this when I have a little bit of time because it usually opens doors into other things that are bigger subjects we should talk about. So not only do you have to control the optics and the messaging, the crowds on demand, the stories, the all of it when you're in a position of power and you're afraid of losing it. And you know that you're corrupt, that you're dirty, that you've laundered money for your own gain, that you're part of a blackmail and bribery scheme that the swamp is predicated on, and that if the general public knew what you were up to, they would revolt, one would imagine, against you. And so you have to do everything you can to protect your optics, to protect your story. It's the safest, most secure election ever. When all the votes are counted, Joe Biden is going to win. It's safe and effective. When you get it, it stops with you. January 6th was this. So-and-so is that. MAGA people are extremists. Whatever the narrative is, you need to protect it at all costs. And that also involves having counter-offensives, right? So you have to set smoke screens. You got to set stories out there that can create enough attention, maybe take a lot of people's eyes off the ball, which is you sucking. Okay? That's the predicate. One of these stories was this whole mail-in voting nonsense. There's no reason that the United States of America in the year 2024 should not be able to expect its people to show up at the polls and to vote. There might be a few smidge exceptions, some carve-outs to that. Maybe military, maybe students. I don't know. We can work it out. But you should not have a vast majority of people voting by mail, voting multiple times by mail, and then having your government tell you that it's safe and secure. Because that's not. That's called fraud. That's called suck. And it's been going on for a long time. And it's not just the Democrats doing it. As you well know, I'm more offended by the Republicans. So I wanted to read you this. It's from December of 2023. It's a story that came out. It was demonstrably proven. It was reported. And then when it was reported, and there was a panic on the left, the uniparty left, freaking out to shut it down, we see the results of censorship taking down the organization that told the truth about it. Here's the story. Comes to you from the gvwire.com. I have no idea what that is. It is what it is. Mail-in voting fraud exposed in recent Rasmussen survey. So Rasmussen went out and they polled a bunch of people and they asked some very basic questions about, did you receive more than one mail-in ballot at your house for the 2020 election? And if you did, what did you do with those extra mail-in ballots? Did you send them in just to make sure that your vote was counted? And then, of course, they're relying on people telling the truth about their experiences. Here's what they found. A recent survey, again, this is December of 2023. A recent survey conducted by Rasmussen Reports and the Heartland Institute reveals that over 20% of individuals who voted via mail-in ballots in the 2020 election admit to engaging in some form of election fraud. Let me say it again. 20%. More than 20%, more than one in five admit to engaging in something that was fraudulent regarding their mail-in ballots in 2020. Do you think that's kind of a big deal? I'm going to go with yeah. Yeah. Considering I live in a state where I went to bed on November 3rd, Donald Trump was up 600,000 votes. And when I woke up the next morning, he had lost, allegedly, by 80,555. Well, the survey also found that 19% of those who voted by mail-in ballot had a friend or a family member fill out their ballot. And 17% of mail-in voters admit to casting a ballot in a state where they were no longer a permanent resident. That's not allowed. Both of these practices are illegal, as noted by officials from the Heartland Institute. Blah, blah, blah. The survey, which included 1,085 likely U.S. voters, conducted November 30th to December 6th, 2023, blah, blah, blah. The survey also found that 17% of those who cast mail-in ballots in 2020 admit to signing a ballot or ballot envelope on behalf of a friend or a family member, which is considered fraudulent, in case you didn't know. All right, so that's the basis of this, okay? Rasmussen reports this. This GV Wire is one of a handful of outlets that covers it. So let's find out what happened with this. So that's how it started. One in five voters said they did something funky with their mail-in ballot that was election fraud. So that's how it started. Where it went? Well, here's the Washington Post. The Washington Post picks up this story and gives it its own liberal spin, okay? And here's the headline. Trump is still breaking new ground in ridiculous 2020 denialism. Not one in five voters polled by Rasmussen says that they did something fraudulent. Blame Trump. Trump and his wacko weirdo base are still talking about the 2020 election, the big lie. It's not at all what happened. Washington Post knows it. I'll read you first couple paragraphs, and then we'll show you how it's gone. all right, how the censorship campaign has gone. It's been more than 3 years since Donald Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. Washington Post, you suck. 3 years since states passed their safe harbor deadlines, the point by which their presidential election results need to be finalized and certified. For more than 3 years, in other words, there has been no credible question about Trump's electoral loss. Now, that's sneaky. That's your spin. That's your liberal suck. And yet here we are with Trump elevating a mind-bogglingly ridiculous poll to suggest yet again and baselessly that the election was somehow stolen from him. Okay? So, first story comes out, Rasmussen, this EV or whatever, RV, whatever website posts it, 1 in 5 admit they did something they shouldn't have done. That was fraudulent. Washington Post, that's not the story, that Trump is still beating this dead horse. What a loser. What do you think happened to Rasmussen for even putting up the poll? Well, this is how it's going. The race to cancel Rasmussen for telling the truth. This is how it goes. The Washington Post again, and this was in March of this year. 538. This is the poll aggregation and evaluation site. 538, which is part of ABC News, decided to, just months after they put out, Rasmussen put out that poll showing that 1 in 5 voters fiddled fraudulently with their mail-in ballots. This 538 site, a part of ABC News, decided to drop Rasmussen from its poll aggregation. We're not going to carry your poll anymore. We're not going to validate you. This is punishment. This is punitive. This is retaliation for you daring to ask such a question that could illuminate an answer that proves we cheated. And that the cheat is very likely to happen again if we similarly embrace mail-in voting. I want you to understand why this is important. Because people like this program and other sources you might be getting your news from that you trust more are such an uphill battle. YouTube permanently banned me. Have I told you anything that you think is demonstrably false? Have I lied to you? Have I told you something that's dangerous? Have I told you things that I cannot corroborate? Have I shared with you? Of course, I have all of the places where we get our news so you can double check us. We still got banned forever. Why? Because it's all coming out. Because the great unraveling is on. Because it's not just the election of 2020. It's everything that's happened to us since then. It's the virus. It's the gain of function. It's all of it. It's the CDC. It's manipulating the data to a desired outcome and then hiring a crowd on demand to spread the story through optics, through messaging, through paid protesters, agitators, to sell it, to protect yourself. That is what this is. And judging from the polling about Joe Biden's approval, it's not working anymore. The wheels haven't just started to rattle. They've come out. They've come off. These are the people who told you if you injected something into your body, you were a good person. And that only a good mom and dad would protect their kids the same way. We have no earthly idea the long-term effects those lies will have on us. and our country. But whom do you believe? The Washington Post or Rasmussen? I'm going to say this. Do not leave. Do not bounce from this. Because we have a song for you that is worth every moment today. And it's moments away right here on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. All right, so I'm going to take you back in time. Brock just brought this up, and he's right. And so I quickly went into the Wayback Machine. And this is an article from July of 2013. It's on a website called foreignpolicy.com. And I just want to remind you why you are awash in all of these sucky, lousy messages, these obvious propaganda tools, because Barack Obama waved his magic wand and made it so. Headline, U.S. repeals propaganda ban, spreads government-made news to Americans. U.S. repeals propaganda ban. Why would you say propaganda all of a sudden that's from your government to you is okay? Why ever would that be? Quickly, for decades, a so-called anti-propaganda law prevented the U.S. government's mammoth broadcasting arm from delivering propaganda to American audiences. But on July 2nd, that came silently to an end with the implementation of a new reform passed in January. The result? An unleashing of thousands of hours per week of government-funded radio and TV programs for domestic U.S. consumption in a reform initially criticized as a green light for U.S. domestic propaganda efforts. Why? Why, unless you had some serious stuff planned, Barack? It's clearly what it was. That is what you live in. And by the way, it was just months prior to that that crowdsondemand.com opened its doors to the public. Need malignant activists to push your message? Need somebody to lobby Congress? You want to put your brand front and center in front of something and get the most bang for your buck? Hire Crowds on Demand. We'll push your narrative at a fraction of the cost of hiring someone more professional. Just so you know. All right, so as I mentioned, we found this fantastic rap. And I've got to say thanks so much to Bast Records. Hunter got high. Oh, my friends, enjoy every moment of the rapping community being just as awake as you are.
Shout out to Bast Records. Hey, yo, Hunter, roll up another one of them congressional blunts, brother. He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna show all them pics, but Hunter got high. He should have let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Why, yeah, hey. To mess with the hoes, but Hunter got high. He was gonna take them all out on the boat, but Hunter got high. He's the smartest man Joe ever knew in his life. Yeah, till Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. La da 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 da. He was gonna go visit his dad, but Hunter got high. Thought he had a secret stash, but Hunter got high. The White House got shut down. We all know why. Come on, man. Yeah, Hunter got high. Hunter
wasn't part of the plan till Hunter got high. China wasn't that big of a fan till Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna split it all with the old big guy. Yeah, till Hunter got high, till Hunter got high, Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna go to court, but Hunter got high. He never been indicted before, but Hunter got high. His attorney's out smoking a bowl, and we all know why. Yeah, cause Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high.
I love it. Based Records. I mispronounced it. Fan-freaking-tastic.
And that wasn't even the whole song. That, I had to edit it down.
I mean, that is just freaking outstanding. They're paying attention to everything. Not just people in your circles, people in all circles. It's amazing the detail there. Everybody knows. There's no crowd on demand to save this. The challenge is flooding every single polling station, every single place where a vote is cast or a ballot is dropped off or counted with MAGA. Love having you guys here. Thank you so much for being a part of the Wendy Bell Radio program. Hey, tell a friend and come back with them tomorrow. Until then, peace.